Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. It's great to be here. We got an action-packed episode tonight. It is our annual New Year's season show. We're going to talk about prognostications. We're going to talk about a review of last year, and we're going to talk about the future, which is always fun. Because, as my buddy Cresswell says, the future, that is where you and I will live out our lives.
And as Fred Sanford say, you know where the future is in? Junk.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, aren't those like the same comment? You know, the future, that's where we will live our lives. Papa Stro, how are you doing tonight?
Blessed to be here with you all, as always. Looking forward to spending the rest of 2018 into 2019 with you all. So let the festivities begin.
Let her rip.
The festivities are certainly beginning because our favorite lady, the Queen Sparkle, has joined us. Queen Sparkle, good evening. How are you doing this New Year's show? Are you there, Queen of Sparks? I guess she's not.
She was there briefly.
She was there briefly. It looks like she's here. Well, Todd, how are you doing?
No, we'll just cut to the chase. I'm outstanding to supernatural. Count the hours and minutes here till this weekend when the Famdamily will at least part of the Famdamily will make it up here from North Carolina to this lovely chilly area. Although I will have to admit, I know that there at Emerald Isle area with Papa Stro was just as cold this morning as we were.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God, it really was. Well, we're glad to have you, Todd. Even though you're up there in Indianapolis, we're glad you're here. Hopefully you can stay with us forever. Now, from Jacksonville, North Carolina, the one and only, the greatest author I know from Jacksonville, David Atwell. How are you doing, sir?
It's a pretty narrow field, but I appreciate it. No, doing good.
Hey, run, done with it, brother.
Yeah, I reckon so, right? No, everything's going great. Had a wonderful Christmas. I hope everybody else did. Still here at the workplace, so I'll be dipping in, dipping out as the show carries on. And
just don't double dip.
Yeah, don't double dip.
You're our favorite dip. Yeah. Are you better than Trenton?
Could not have asked for a better Christmas. Everything went well. Got my grandkids around.
Nice.
I even got the opportunity to dog sit the two grand dogs. So if you're looking for a total body count, I had one English Mastiff, one Chocolate Lab, and two German Shepherds wandering around my 2,000 heated square foot home at one time. And though I was dreading the moment of going home and having to deal with that, I actually got in there and found myself oddly at peace. So.
Oh, you sure?
Well,
wait a minute. What are you fussing about the heat? You know, four dogs that size, they have to be giving off quite a few BTUs that should have only worked to your advantage.
So much easier getting along with them than it was the family. So I totally, when they had to get the two German Shepherds out to the doggy hotel, I was standing on the porch with a tear running down my cheek. I was like, don't take them. But, yeah, had a wonderful Christmas. And, again, I hope everybody else out there did, because it is that one time of year when you really ought to just kind of stop and try to shrug all your troubles aside and appreciate what you got for a couple minutes.
That is exactly right. I'm glad you said that. That's a wonderful way to look at Christmas. That's exactly how Pop Culture Stars look at it. So just glad to here. And so tonight is our everything where we talk about the past, the present, and the future. as I said, the future. Friends, Romans, countrymen, well, I don't know if there are many Romans left. But the future is where we will live the rest of our lives. I think that's the most astonishing and unbelievable statement ever made by a comedian who has gone down in history. I mean, he's gone in flames. We still love him anyway. That is the great Cresswell. And I'll be bringing to light more of his content later. But tonight I'd like to start out with a little bit of research on some prognosticators. Prognosticator, that's an old phrase from Leonard Lucy. Leonard Postosti or Leonard Postero, my old friend who used to run that show, Leonard's Losers. Great. But here are some prognostications or future predictions, and I want our panel to talk a little bit about them as I read them. Because first of all, this group, which talks about these issues, modern day British units, this comes from the British newspaper The Express. They went and did some research and found out what Nostradamus, the great seer, said about this, about 2019 coming up. And so here's what he said back in 1555. Let's see, but they're like five bullet points. And I want to hear your impression and thought. First of all, we are going to have the outbreak of World War III. And the war is going to last 37 years, and the East will weaken the West. What do you think? Think we're going to have World War III coming up this year? East coming.
Blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Master dumbass is more like it. Yeah, that ain't.
That's a nice way to start the new year.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? 37-year wars don't happen anymore. Our weaponry is just too out of control to have any type of conflict for more than damn 5 years. Why? Because somebody within those 5 years is going to be lunatic enough to press a button and quite possibly wipe out everything from the gerbils right on up. So, no, I don't see no 37 years.
Man,
I dare say
that
37 years. Would there be anything left?
That a certain religious group has been at war with anybody, well, amongst themselves as well, but everybody that's not them for longer than that, all around the world. So in some ways, that world war has been going on a long freaking time, just saying.
Yeah.
As far as a world war, my God, there would be nothing left at that point.
And truth be told, when was Nostradamus alive? Like 1500 or whatever? The West was Europe. I don't think he was talking about Los Angeles back then. I think he was talking about the British Empire, the French, and all that, because if you recall, the British and the French were riding high on the world back in those days. So perhaps that was the West he was speaking of. But
your goal is,
you know,
I think you're talking about that battle.
Could be that.
Well,
you never can.
He added a second quatrain that is very interesting. And I wanted to give you the World War thing before I did this. He said, we going to be decimated by or comet. As he said, something out of space is going to slam into our world and cause a complete havoc. And, you know, if it does.
I can imagine Don Cornelius' introduction to Soul Train said, this is Don Cornelius and the Quatrain Dancers.
There you go.
It's great to mention that because I saw Mercer coming up that the Bobby Brown story about Soul is coming to BET, and I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be just a great thing. So his name, Nostradamus, said that, believe it or not, we're going to have a comet or an asteroid hit us. Now, that could happen.
Well, mathematically, it's not a matter of if, but when.
Right. I agree with you.
That's the problem. And so when he...
Space is love, don't rock at us.
When he mentions the two of these at the same time, it's kind of scary. Because, you know, obviously we're not going to have any kind of a war that would last more than 2 weeks. You know, a couple of people drop some big ones, and that's about it. But you know what? If we had some kind of a something, like an asteroid, plow into the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, the absolute devastation of that could completely rock the world. That could put us right back into the Stone Age, and we would be fighting hand in hand. So who knows?
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, 2019, I know.
Meteors will be falling.
That is what Nostradamus said. And who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened. We have had future asteroids hit this
He's French,
world.
Right? Nostradamus was French, right? He was French, right?
French by way of Russia.
Mm.
Whatever that means.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you know what Austin Powers' dad always said? Never trust the Dutch.
Never trust the Dutch?
Those bloody Dutchmen.
Never trust the Dutch. Lauren Vander's supposed to never trust the Dutch.
Thomas, though, and all of his stuff, though, is that if you stop and read it, it's a bunch of people going to die in 2017. Okay, let's see. It's 2018. Okay, a bunch of people going to die 2018. 2019. A bunch of people going to die. Okay, 2020. 2020 is one of those weird number years. So, yeah, a lot more people going to die in that one. 2021. 21 is a lucky number.
Mayans,
so,
yeah, the Mayans.
The Mayans ran out of room on that stone tablet, and they said, "Oh boy, this is going to screw up a lot of people's day doing this." You know, it's just
they're the ultimate trollers. They trolled everybody.
I mean, why didn't Nostradamus ever sit down and say, hey, in 1977, Van Halen 1's going to come out, one of the greatest rock albums ever made. Why is it never anything positive?
Yes.
Why is it always
See,
about...
there you go.
Yes.
Stroh was ditching on Dutchmen, and right there's... I'm telling you. when it comes to guitar, Eddie's the flying Dutchman.
Those bloody Dutchmen.
I mean, why does it always have to be negative out of this guy? Why can't he say, hey, you know, there's going to be less rain and a better crop in 2019? Why does it always have to be about, you know, a meteor hitting us and causing everybody to turn into lizards and everything? Why is it always something negative?
Yeah. It's always
about
the lizards.
They've already turned into lizards. Let's go to Bishopville. Come on. I agree with you. It's like all they wanted to do was say bad shit about everything,
yeah.
And that's how he got
and scared to be Jesus out of everybody.
Kept.
Yep.
And
please,
and
you
and
make enough predictions, people forget about the bad ones, and they just marvel at the good ones.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
if Nostradamus would have got laid more, he'd probably feel better, make better, happy
absolutely.
Predictions.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, I'm going to slide that into prediction since Yuki's coming up this weekend. That's
right.
My prediction. All right, I damn sure better be getting laid. Just saying.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, now
just saying.
We have covered in the first quarter of an hour of our magnificent YouTube show. We have covered the predictions. Oh, the last prediction of Nostradamus is that men will get closer to animals. I want to read this translation. This is like the most amazing thing. It says
quatrain.
Yep, because predicting the future ain't easy.
curious.
Sup, Mark?
Humans will become closer to animals, and pigs will become brothers with men. We already got
that. Become brother with men?
Wait, didn't George Orwell already do that?
Yeah, War of the Worlds.
he was busy reading Nostradamus, and then he wrote all his stuff. But yeah, so that's the last prediction, is that pigs will become brothers with men.
Oh,
and I guess you got somebody late.
That's a lot of bacon, you know.
Well, there are certain farmers that I've wondered about.
Yeah.
Why am I having flashbacks of Deliverance? Squeal like a pig.
Yes. Deliverance.
Well, you guys remember the joke about the city cousin that comes to visit his country cousin, and he says, "Gosh, it's the weekend and we're doing nothing out here." And the country cousin says, "Well, we go out and get it on with the pigs on the weekend for fun." And the city cousin says, "Man, I can't do that." So later on that evening, all the country guys are out there getting it on with the pigs, and the city cousin is sitting up there on the fence post just shaking his head, you know, got his eyes shut. So his cousin walks up to him and says, "Hey, you really got to try this out." And he says, "Man, I can't do it." He says, "Man, come on down here and try it out." So the city cousin finally gets down off the fence. He gets up behind a pig and starts giving it some business. And then he just backs off and he says, "Man, I just can't do it. I can't do this." And his country cousin turned around and said, "Ain't no damn wonder you got the ugliest one out here."
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he might have been in Indiana, because there are some ugly sows up here, just saying.
I would imagine.
Ugly sows.
But then, of course, there was Fat Bottom Girls by Queens. So thank you, Queen, for taking care of this problem.
Okay, what does Queen got to do with pigs? What does Queen got to do with pigs? Come on. Really?
You can pork to it.
We better be careful. We don't get kicked off VOC Nation. If we keep talking about this, we're talking about something else.
Freddie Mercury.
Well, I will tell you, actually, Queen does have something, oddly enough, kind of sort of in a tongue-in-cheek way, reference to pigs, because my neighbor was fussing about my heated seats, says, "Man, I smell ham cooking. Oh, that's my big butt." And, of course, I started paraphrasing Fat Bottom Girls singing Pork Bottom Girls. So,
yes.
Just maybe somebody knew.
Well,
never can tell.
We will move forward to the next prophet, St. Malachi, who was an Irish priest from the 1100 era, and he predicted, or at least
the
he
Irish.
Identified something interesting and identifiable about every pope who has come along. And
the Pope. Here we go.
They were going to wear a silly hat.
The last Pope that he has discussed is, of course, he says it will be Peter the Roman, who will pasture his sheep in many tribulations. And when these things have finished, the city of Rome will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge the people. The end. And we are
Peter the Pope. I dare you to say that real fast. Peter Pope. I dare you to say that real fast. Peter Pope.
Well,
not to get
anyway,
tongue-tied.
That's what we got. And St. Malachi predicted this would be the last pope, at least according to what I've seen. I may not be exactly right, but according to what I've seen, this will be the last pope. And he is certainly, we can say that our current pope is a favorite of the liberal media, and whatever happens, happens. And
just like Allman Brothers said in their song about the Pope, "I'm no angel."
Pope's head of the largest corporation in the world, and that corporation really does own a lot of real estate, and he's got many things to consider when he tends to his flock. One is their religious needs. One is the state of the Roman Catholic Church, and it's a huge job. And but that is Sam Salkow's practice. So I think it's something interesting to consider. So we'll see next year when we have our.
Were they a member of the Boy Scouts? I don't think so.
Probably not, but that we'll talk about that next year. There comes a little painting. It's something that I enjoy a lot. I learned Criswell when I watched Plan 9 from Outer Space. Now, is
oh, here we go. Plan 9 from Outer Space. Oh, my God.
That's exactly right. And the movie starts
just
out.
Just like apes and Spaceballs. Oh, crap, there goes the planet.
Okay, there goes the planet. That's So anyway, here we go. Criswell, in 1968, wrote a book called Criswell Predicts. It is filled with amazing, amazing predictions. And I thought a few of them would be a lot of fun to talk about. First of all, I mean, Criswell is a lot like Nostradamus. He picked up on the fact that bad crap is popular. So one of the first things he said was,
"Not mine. Mine stinks."
The United States and Russia will participate together in a space station, and by 1999 there will be more than 200 of these space stations. They will house entire colonies, men, women, and children. When the Earth is destroyed on August 18, 1999, these space colonists will be the only Earth humans left in the universe. Wow.
Was that Prince song? Was that Prince song, 1999? When he talking about the world ended in 1999 in Prince.
We all remember where we were in 1999. That's probably, all right, I want to do a poll here. Dave, where were you December 31st, 1999?
Truth be told, it's kind of funny, you know, that you brought that up because I was just sitting here thinking about the whole Y2K thing. I was not military trained, and Todd will agree, the whole prepare for the worst, hope for the best type thing. You don't go overboard, but then on the flip side, you make sure you got your ducks in a line. So for me, more than anything, I had ammunition, and I had bought a certain amount of ammunition and had it stored in the house because I figured if I had all the water and canned goods, all I would do was be a target, which, of course, would bring on a whole lot of use for that ammunition, whereas if I could use the ammunition to go get said water and canned goods, I'd use a lot less. So I would be that guy. I would probably end up being more the Negan side than the Rick Grimes side when it comes down to survival. But the bottom line was I basically locked the doors, turned on my computers, and opened up beer. I mean, because it's not when it goes to hell, it's not going to go to hell at that second. It's not going to be like Dick Clark, you know, going 3, 2, 1, and then kablam, the whole world blows up.
Yep, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a gradual thing, and so why not enjoy watching the ball drop for the last time and say, okay, guys, let's get locked and loaded. The first guy tries this, get his can of cream corn out of my house, we're going to blow him away. And lo and behold, nothing happened at Y2K. It was just a lot of goop, and oddly enough, things worked out, and, you know, it's my wife had a meltdown about something on Christmas Eve, and I told her, I says, you know, just stop and look at what's going on. It works its way out, and sometimes it works its way out for the bad, sometimes it works its way out for the good, but it works its way out. So if we get back in a time machine, we go back to 1940 when Germany's riding high in Europe. I don't think you could have told anybody that 5 years later we'd have them all on their knees. You know what I mean? So it works its way out. So going back to the Y2K thing, I just said, hell, you know, if we can do what we do here, you know, as a planet and as a society, there's got to be a way that we can overcome this monkey business that's getting ready to happen. So oddly enough, the drinking continued. Then I passed out. Mm-hmm. And then I got up next morning, and I was like, well, still here. Okay. That was kind of a letdown. But, okay, the bowl games are on. Neat. Okay, well, I'm going to move on. And that was it. That's why a lot of these predictions, I just I don't bite on the world destruction thing much. I just don't do it because it just ain't there for me. You know what I mean? A lot of bad stuff's got to happen at once for it to get that bad. We're just too far ahead of ourselves, you know?
We need a good asteroid to hit us right there.
Yeah. And I got to be honest with you, too. I think, and I know I'm probably not going to win no points with St. Peter for saying this, but I think the Lord has a way of kind of washing the panties every now and then, and things get reset. You know what I mean? Be it through plague or world war or natural disaster. I mean, if you stop and look and take, for instance, like World War II. I'll use that one again. Look how that brought things together. I mean, we went through a devastating war where there's not one family was not affected by it. Either had a death in the family or an uncle that's missing a leg or something of that effect. Every family was touched by that. But then the 50s hit. You know, and things were coming along. There was happiness. There was advancement. There was prosperity. Things got better.
Buddy Holly Thomas, for goodness sake.
Well, yeah, with the exception of him going down on a plane, yeah. But if you look at, you know, all the things that came about, you know, when we have natural disasters, when we have these things that happen, somehow or another we find a way to push ourselves up and get it back on. You know what I mean? We're able to adapt, overcome, and get better at living. And yeah, it's just my thing. And I mean, like I said, if you look at Katrina, for crying out loud, the devastation that happened there. I would like to say that something like Katrina will never happen again. Not that we will never have another Category 5 storm, but we won't be so arrogant and ass backwards about our preparation. You know what I mean? Because we learn.
I don't know. You got mayor that evacuates his people, but his family, but don't. Oh.
Well, you know, but New Orleans, they commandeered every bus, and they commandeered even the privately owned, like your Greyhounds and Trailways. They commandeered those and sent them around the neighborhood, say, everybody get on, we're cleaning this thing out. And a lot of the populace said, well, shit, we've been through everything else, we got this. And they didn't. And, again, lesson learned. You know what I mean? So it's just regardless, I think there's always a way we find a way to recover, you know?
Now who was it who did this prediction that started this conversation?
This is Criswell, the most insane.
No wonder I was confused. I thought you said Griswold. I was trying to look up Clark Griswold prediction.
Griswell.
That explains everything.
Griswold.
It all makes sense now.
That's right. Yeah, be a little careful. Don't take it as seriously as they do, because honestly, you know, Criswell was a nutcase, but he was an entertainer. He made a lot of money. He hung out in Las Vegas with people. Hell, he hung out with Ed Wood. I mean, what more can you say? If you're on Ed Wood's films, I mean, something must be, unless you're Bela Lugosi, something must be wrong with, you know? So, I mean, so now we go. So the whole deal is we've got space stations in China, two space stations floating around, and all of a sudden, poof, the Earth is gone. So we are now, we're now what's left. We're still here. Okay, Criswell, you were wrong. Okay, Todd, do you have any more comments? Then I'm going to pop a stroke. Then we'll hit the next Criswell prediction, which is fantastical.
Oh, I was just going to slide in Francois-Marie Arret, better known as Voltaire. And Voltaire said that no matter when we live, past, present, or future, we live in the best possible of all times. Me being a pessimist, I'm afraid he's right.
Well, you know our best friend, the old Charles Dickens, who said these are the best of times and the worst of times. Obviously, Dickens was the king of being bipolar. That makes a lot of sense. These are the best of times, and they're the worst of times, and it kind of has to do with what we make of them. Thank you, Charles.
Aha.
Thank you for bipolar. Papa Stroh, what do you think?
About? About what now?
And not Clark.
Do what?
And not Clark.
I think he's insane. I really think he needs to be committed.
Well, I think he was pretty entertaining and stupid myself. I think he was.
Why I think he needs to be committed. He's a madman.
Yeah.
He'd be fun to party with, but I mean, Jesus, he's still crazy as hell.
Yeah, he was. Well, this was a New York Times bestseller. That's crazy.
Crazy people are smart, though. You got to admit that.
Exactly. Now, the next one is the destruction of Denver.
Mine was short and sweet. I didn't have to
elaborate
much on that.
Destruction. He said that Denver was going to be poured upon by some kind of goose people couldn't get out of, and that people would be swimming in it. It was goop. They couldn't get out of it, and Denver was gone in 1989.
Where do you meet these people? God, where do you bump into these people? Lord have mercy.
I know. Anyway, that was his next one. He then had, he said Castro would be assassinated by a woman in August 1970. Well, that never happened.
A castration. Wow.
Castro. Then
castration. Castro.
I know. The great.
You didn't get that, did you? That went over your head.
Yeah, I did. You're
not keeping
it.
Up with me, are you?
I was trying to move forward. It's three times. Well, thank you, Criswell.
Well, I guess so, given the castration thing, that would bring a whole new meaning to the New Year's ball dropping.
Happy New Year.
Happy good New Year. That's exactly right, Todd. Thank you.
Well, and I guess that after the procedure would be more like Happy New Year.
Yeah. A little falsetto action.
Yeah. Then he predicted that Ronald Reagan did not seek re-election as governor of California and would leave
politics. God, why are these predictions so negative? God.
Well,
doesn't anybody predict anything positive for change?
No, there's a big parallel between him and Nostradamus.
That figure.
Interplanetary.
Mr. Party Man himself.
The very first interplanetary convention will be held at the new convention center in the famed Strip, with colony citizens of Mars, Venus, Neptune, and the Moon in full representation. Governor Sawyer will make the welcoming address. Boy. How we won't even comment on that. Oh, and it gets better. A meteor will destroy London in 1988. It will just flat out slam into London and destroy it, and it keeps getting better.
You know, I start off this podcast really happy and joy and just full of good cheer. Now I am just depressed.
I'm sorry.
Really? Are you about to break out into the happy, happy, joy, joy song?
This is depressing as hell.
Well, I'm almost done with Criswell. We're obliged to finish. He says
these people need some therapy. My God, or life, or something, or some activities, some positive activities to do.
I mean, well, but then here's some positive activities.
Or just on the couch with a shrink or something.
The cow now brown cow and all that. Well, he says the capital of the United States is going to move to Wichita, which means that then obviously we'd have a new president. It would be something on the order of who knows. So the world.
I bet
the
they invented the Grinch too, didn't they? They invented the Grinch. I bet.
Wichita. But then and
witch doctors, yeah, them too.
In Rhode Island. I predict Rhode Island will be the center of a new movement of youth in the nation.
Hold on. You went from Wichita to Rhode Island. Hold on.
That's right. That's right. That's the prediction. Now, this is
bring me back to that bridge, because I missed the bridge.
Hey, Todd, I guess he's giving us a hint. We're all FUBAR.
Okay. I only have three more. No, number three. I predict Rhode Island will be the center of a new movement of youth. It will be the youth's rebellion through nudism. Through this movement to begin in Rhode Island and spread throughout.
So we're nude when we get destroyed. Wonderful.
Everybody's going to get naked in Rhode Island.
And die.
There you go. And then number two.
They're probably having a clam bake. It'll be, there we go. It'll be the Elvis Presley clam bake movie redone in the nude.
A mountain oyster roast.
Providence, Rhode Island. I know. I mean, you're right next to Quahog, of course. And then number two, Vermont.
Dave, this is great.
By a couple of nuclear bombs, poor little Vermont, which means no more maple syrup. That's going to really crush me. I'm glad Mikey Mack got out of there. Yes, but then here comes the best one.
I think that's the last thing we worry about is maple syrup. If we're going to die, and be destroyed.
Maple syrup is pretty important to me. We can put it over fried chicken. It's great. And then
That's gross. Yeah. Sick.
On August 18th, 1999, end of the earth, and it will all be over. So I guess we're 20 years past. I think we're going to keep on just fine. So that's just a New York Times bestseller. I think everybody.
Oh, shit. There you go. The whole the maple syrup thing reminded me.
Of what?
And I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I did get a bottle of homemade apple syrup. Or maple syrup, my apologies, maple. And I want to thank Wendell on the air. And my thought was, I was damn sure going to get some damn shower curtains because they're cheaper than plastic bed sheets. Yuki's going to be here this weekend, just saying.
Yeah, right.
Okay. We
got Mrs. Butterworth. Here we go.
There we go. Exactly.
We'll get that edited out.
Now that I got people cringing on air with the visual of that one.
On the evening before the drunk episode with Brady Hicks, Bob Stone, everybody.
I want to get drunk right now after seeing all this. God almighty, I'm depressed.
This sober episode.
All this destruction, doom, and gloom talk. God knows.
Well, time for all of us to give a couple.
Chug a lug and pass.
Well, we want to give a couple of predictions that we like and that we think are interesting and might be actually germane. Not content germane to next year. So, who wants to go first with their. Give us two predictions. Then we'll write these down. And we'll see how close you are.
Well, yeah, nice to hear everybody jumping on that prediction stuff. I'm guessing Dave was doing the mute
we're
thing
still,
while trying
from
to...
Your predictions. We're still coming from all the explosion, destruction,
cast.
And apocalyptic...
Actually, I'm going to context switch. If you want to talk about predictions, go back to the original Star Trek television series. We use Skype and variations of that. That was a whole video screen thing that they were doing there with their communication stuff. So that was a prediction that came true, a la Star
mm-hmm.
Trek. Now look at our doggone cell phones and
yep.
the communication. And then you look at all the Bluetooth and stuff like that. It's not just Star Trek, but Star Trek The Next Generation and so on. So that
now we can
I
get
mean,
our telecoms and go, sup, Mark?
Exactly. Exactly. Star Trek was, you know, for something that has predictions of the future and doesn't get any credit, there is more than that from Star Trek. I mean, they were nailing science stuff and things like that, but they were bloody well spot on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think of the video chat is an everyday thing, and that was a big deal on the screen back in the day.
That was big in the Jetsons. You know, in the early 60s, they talked about, you know...
Hey, with the Jetsons...
Yeah, and so now we've got it.
Wait a minute. Was that our girl?
No, she's not here yet. She's experiencing technical difficulties. She will be handy. Otherwise, she
not enough glitter.
So anyway, what you're saying is, in terms of your predictions, we've seen predictions and they've come to be. Do you have one prediction
yeah.
for us for 2019 that you want to put your name on?
Okay, I will. I suspect that in 2019, that theme for the podcast, you will use Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and probably a certain woman that some people say are dead, but might be living in South Carolina.
Well, I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're leading into mine, but mine will go last. Okay.
I just used the probability thing for that one.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll mention my technique at the very end. All right, David Atwell. What is your one prediction?
Well, I will do one prediction for personal use, which I've got a couple things in front of me, which I will not divulge at this time. But I think 2019 is really going to be the year where I spend more time enjoying my life and kicking myself in the ass for not making these moves earlier in my life. So I predict for myself and my family a lot more smiles, a lot more harmony, and a lot less stress. So,
oh, God, that's a resume in front of you.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Now, as for the prediction for the world, I'll be honest with you, that's going to be mundane and probably not the happiest thing, but I think 2019 is going to be a stalled, stagnant year. I think it's going to be a year where things don't get any better, but they don't get any worse. I think we'll be having the same conversation a year from now where we're still looking at the Middle East swimming their ass and how nobody can Washington can get along and how the Redskins play good in the first half and then lose every quarterback they have in the second. You know, I think we're just going to have a Joe year. Nothing big, nothing real bad, nothing real good. and I wish I had something better to say, but the momentum we've got right now, you know, in Washington, and let's face it, the United States is the pack leader, for the world. You know, there's a lot of stuff we do here that the rest of the world emulates. And I can tell you, I just don't see where Trump's doing some stuff right now that's got me scratching my head. The Republican Party just cannot seem to stick together. The Democratic Party is just too busy with the eye poking to do anything that's going to do any good. And I just see it being another year's worth of, no, you did it. I just picture it being that. 2020, we'll all be walking around wearing a little 2020 glasses because it'll be a catchy theme, 2020 with the glasses, right? Going, hey, 2020's going to kick ass. Hopefully it will, because I think 2019, we're just going to be in the same situation we're in right now. My bad.
All right.
I got to ask this because you brought up the Redskins, and because our Liz isn't here, I suspect the bakery Liz and you have hugged each other and cried over the Redskins' fate.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You guys do not know our bakery Liz. She is a sweetheart, our old Chinese lady. She is just something else.
And where's Redskins?
Giving her some love on the air
every day. Yeah, she's great. Love her to death. But it has been a tough year.
Okay. Well, that's good as any. I'm going to be listening to this and recording them, and we'll put them up on the website and see what happens. So thanks, Dave. Papa Stroh, what is your big prediction for 2019?
Well, you said five. Which we're doing one at a time or what?
Why don't you go with the one you led us with?
That are most important.
He originally said make up five predictions. So I made up five predictions, and now he's asking for one.
Give us all five.
Oh, okay. All right. All the time and trouble making these predictions. Okay, here we go. All right. First prediction.
Really, you had five? You can't pick?
Well, he asked for five originally, did he not? Did you guys get the memo?
Yeah.
Quote Batman, did you get the memo? Dark Knight? Okay. All right. I'm going to name all five and get mine over with, by God. Screw it. All right. First off, I'm going to be a year older. I'm going to be a year older in 2019. That's my first prediction.
Who saw that come up?
Yeah.
No, we lost.
I'll tell you, out of nowhere, right? Okay. Second prediction. I will lose some money in 2019. That's inevitable. Third prediction. I'll make some money in 2019. That'd be nice.
Hell, yes, it
would. Keep in mind, these predictions. Some of these predictions, I do hope they don't happen because I try to aim low because no one can go up from there, right? So, the fourth prediction. I'll be doing some traveling with Dorothy. That's always fun.
No.
And fifth prediction. I'll see more things to make fun of. That's a given.
Boy, yeah, absolutely. Because truth be told, see more things to make fun of. The first prediction I wrote down was I'm going to be using profanity about other drivers on my way to work in the morning.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Just saying.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's the Vegas odds are pretty clear on that one. There are no big winners on that my profanity option.
Well, you know, that one and buy some Disney stock, because Disney is in line to make like $10 billion this year in movies between Marvel and live remakes of Disney's and Star Wars and all that good stuff. So there's your one financial tip for 2019. No charge.
Okay.
That's my predictions.
Well, those are good predictions. And I feel like many of them will come true. We'll see.
Let's
which
hope.
Ones come true
and
this year.
Not. Some of them I hope don't come true.
Well, I've got two very strong. I could only come up with two. Number one.
Wait,
I don't
just to be clear, you told all of us to come up with five, and you only came up with two.
Yeah, that was all I could come up with.
I just thought I would clarify some of the ground rules around here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a third thought. Now, you know, when you're trying to put this thing together.
It's good to be the king,
happens.
Isn't it?
Well,
it's good to
I wouldn't
be
call
the
it
king.
Being the king. I'm a committee, I'm a committee leader of a fine committee.
The good but the king, baby.
Okay. But I guess my first prediction is stock market's not going to crash this year.
That
stock market's
been
going on.
Yes.
We're in a correction.
Fantastic.
Number one. And number two, I think that with the Democrats in control of the House of Representatives, we might find a little more civility in Washington, because everyone's going to realize they better work together or they have no chance of controlling both the House and the Senate next year. So you might find a little more cooperation at the top level, and that will kind of filter down to the bottom level. But I think maybe we'll see a little kinder, gentler country next year. I think there won't be so much harshness.
There is your optimistic prediction, gentlemen.
Oh, wonderful.
No, that's my actual prediction.
No factual basis, but it's optimistic.
Well, I mean, I could say just everything's going to go to hell, and people are going to get mad, and they're going to get pissed off, and it's going to be road rage all over, but I don't think so.
That's one of your predictions earlier, John. You were talking about those earlier.
Yeah, what Nostra Dumbass
well,
did, right?
It's almost like I knew, ain't it?
Well, I mean, I just think it's going to – we'll have a little kinder, gentler country next year, and I think we're not going to have any major upheavals. But I will say this. I will say that I believe there will be one kick-ass and frightening assassination of a world leader. And I'm not saying it's Donald Trump.
Wow.
I'm saying I believe there will be one absolutely polarizing, terrorizing assassination of some world leader. Don't know who it is, but that's what the voice said. So that's my... That's my get up and go.
You sure? Ain't Nostradamus whispering in your ear there?
No, I just was sitting there trying to. I was trying to get a beat
John's
on what's going to happen,
point.
But there's going to.
No, look, John brought some optimism here, and I'll give him credit for that, because that's. Look, I had to drop to Star Trek to bring
bring
some
it
things
back.
That came through to find something that was kind of cool and fun. But he brought some honest optimism, and I got to give Dr. John credit for that. I got to tell you, I am less so that way. One of my predictions is good move. Buy more ammo.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, that's always
doesn't
a good
mean
move.
That's not a good. Doesn't mean
no, it's a good move.
Look, Todd, that's not necessarily a bad look. That might be a good look. But I'm just saying overall, and I got to say this, and this is a kudo to someone that I would not normally give a kudo to. I think I've spoken with all of you about my views on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I think doesn't know what she's doing because she's 29 years old. But I like one thing she said, and boy, no one said a word about it. She said, well, if Congress can't vote to keep the government open, they ought to not take a salary. And, you know, that's not such a bad viewpoint. It's not.
Yeah, because down here on the ground.
Well, it's not exactly novel. I mean, that's been voiced around for a long time.
If you walk off the job at Taco Bell, you ain't getting paid. You know what I mean? So down here on the ground.
No much to lose.
I mean.
Nobody wants to comment about that. That is the hottest potato on the block. That is a scorched potato. And nobody wants to comment on it. And I got a champion her for that. And she's made a lot of youthful errors because she doesn't know a lot about the world. But she said that, and I thought, you know, that's a reason that shows a kind of reasonableness that a lot of folks. I think Instagram's great. She's a lot of fun. But Instagram would say that. They've all got their bills are too expensive. They can't say that, but Alexandria said that, and I got champion her for that. So kudos to you, Alexandria Ortega-Cortez. I think you get a good look for that. I guess
okay,
and we only have 4 minutes left. Everybody's got
shit.
A plug. So Todd, what's your plug?
I know. Todd.
Plug.
See, I didn't even make it till tomorrow morning before the profanity started.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes. So, what have you got to plug, Todd?
I'm going to plug Wendell Hill real quick. He's the guy that, honest to God, gave me about 10, 12 ounces of honest to God homemade maple syrup, and the time and effort to go ahead and do that kind of thing, that is beyond cool. He's only got so much of that stuff that, you know, by the time he produces it, and I'm going to say straight up, I am overwhelmed and touched that I'm one of the people that qualified to get a container of that. That's big stuff. Thank you, Wendell Hill.
Dave Atwell, 30 seconds, what you got?
Man, just everybody be careful this New Year weekend here or this New Year coming up. Watch your drinking and driving. Make sure you got a ride and just stay safe. And more importantly, just a big lasting question for every New Year, is that the guy who's in charge of dropping the ball in Times Square, if he doesn't drop the ball correctly, did he drop the ball dropping the ball? So throwing that out there, y'all can all on that for the next couple of days. But please, everybody be careful. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Papa Stroh, what you got?
Tomorrow night, Drunken Episode. Come join us, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOCNation.com. Everyone from In the Room and WCW Retro will be there. So popped up the tops and relax. Come on down and Happy New Year to everyone.
Big love to Brian Vaughn, WCW Retro regular caller.
Yes, get well soon, brother. We all love you.
Get well. Yeah. Thanks a lot. This is Don Johnson. Thanks so much, Pop Culture Stars. We'll see you next week. Our first show of 2019. Cheers.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year's, Rocky Gang.
Boom.
Now it's